Hi, I'm Femi Oke. Today on the stream, the mistreatment of asylum seekers in Europe. I want you to take a look at this video taken by undercover journalists on the Croatia-Bosnia border. So what you are seeing here are refugees being beaten. This technique is used to discourage people from entering the European Union. It's known as pushback, and it is illegal. In this episode of The Stream, we ask, is Europe abandoning refugees? If you're on YouTube right now, the comment section is live. Put your thoughts, your comments, your questions right here in the chat section, and you too can be part of today's episode of The Stream. Let's get this conversation started with Nicole Massimo Camille. You're very welcome to the stream. Nicole, first of all, please introduce yourself. Hello to our international audience. Tell them who you are, what you do.
Hi, my name is Nicole Fugele, and I am an investigative journalist working for Swiss National Television. And together with Lighthouse Reports and a lot of other European journalists, I published this footage that you just saw last week, which was quite a buzz in the EU.
Nice to have you. We'll talk more about that footage and the story that you and other colleagues and partners put together. Massimo, nice to see you. Welcome to the stream. Please introduce yourself to our audience.
Hi, nice to see you as well. My name is Massimo Moratti. I am a deputy director of Amnesty Europe Regional Office. And as Amnesty, we have been following the issue of migration and pushbacks for the past years. In particular, I've been following the situation in Croatia at least for the last 2.5 years. And I'm very glad that this, you know, great piece of journalism came out.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for making time for us today on the stream. And Camille, you're very welcome to the stream. Please introduce yourself. Tell our audience who you are, what you do.
Hi, my name is Camille Lacoz. I'm a senior policy analyst at the Migration Policy Institute Europe, a think tank based in Brussels. And we focus on the analysis of migration and asylum policies as they're developed here in Brussels.
I would love all of you guests to talk to me about this assignment, this piece of journalism that so many people put together. But I'm going to start with Nicole. What was the assignment? What were you trying to prove?
So I've been working on this issue for almost 3 years already. So it was like, for me as a journalist, it was quite hard to see on a daily basis when I was in the field that people are pushed back like every day, very often, very brutally out of the European Union into Bosnia-Herzegovina. And on a political level, it is still they're all still able to deny, say, these are all lies. This is just not happening. Well, no one ever showed us any proof. And so we recorded pushbacks and went on. But what we were never able to record is these really violent pushbacks that are done by masked men. We heard a lot about them. They're in hidden remote areas. And we often saw the wounds. We saw people without teeth. We saw them beaten up coming out of the forest, but we weren't able to catch them on a video till this June, when we finally managed to get the video that you just saw before. So we were finally able to prove that these masked men are existing and that they belong to the Croatian police, that they are law enforcement members. And this was a very important step also to prove that they were financed partly by the EU and by EU funds. So we had that missing piece.
You had the evidence. You had the video.
Finally,
like,
yes.
you may well be denying it, but this is actually happening.
Exactly.
Massimo, from a human rights perspective, pushback is illegal. Can you explain to us in what way it is illegal?
People have right to seek asylum in countries. So, I mean, this person, very simply, they are being denied the possibility of seeking asylum in Croatia. This is in first place, you know. But, I mean, what we see in these pictures, I mean, we see brutality of police forces, you know. We see behaviors that, as Amnesty, we had no problems in defining as ill-treatment, and in certain cases, even to amount to torture. So, yes, there is the pushback. That is, they prevent people from seeking asylum, from seeking their own rights. But then this is happening in a way that goes, you know, it makes it completely illegal, and it creates another set of human rights violations as well.
Camille, I'm just going to show something here. The title of this video is Pushback Using a Life Raft. So we're in the Aegean Sea, and what we have are refugees in a life raft, and they're just pushed out to sea. They're not rescued. We're speeding the video up so you can see what happens to them. They're just left. So this, is this manslaughter? Is this attempted murder? What would you say this is, Camille, happening here?
Yeah, I think what we're seeing is that this practice are not new, and they've already been last year a coalition of NGO that releases black books about all the illegal pushback. What we're seeing maybe is less and less public uproar, despite the fact that, yes, indeed, they're illegal. And on this side of the European Commission, there's been call for investigation by EU member state. Croatia, I believe, has already announced that they will do an investigation into the Lighthouse reporting. But we also know that, you know, we should also see that the Commission is now under a lot of pressure to deliver on its new pact on migration and asylum, especially given the limited progress that has been done in the past years. And so they may refrain from publicly condemning the member state ahead of what they see as very sensitive negotiation.
I'm just wondering what this environment is right now, Massimo. Back in 2015, we saw a migrant crisis, and then countries were feeling like we can't handle these migrants. But now we're seeing actual, I don't know what to call it, violence. Disgraceful behaviour. Where are we right now in the psyche of Europe and migrants and refugees and asylum seekers?
We are in a very worrying situation. Let's be clear about this. I mean, you know, what we see, what the police, Croatian police forces are trying to do is trying to practice deterrence, to discourage people from seeking their rights, from seeking asylum, you know, and this is really, really concerning at this point, you know. We were speaking about Croatia, we spoke about Greece, the Lighthouse report covered also Romania, but this is a practice that is quite widespread in Europe at the moment. At the moment, we have also people on the Poland-Belarus border who are stuck, who are not allowed to enter the Poland. You know, so you know, it's what is worrying is that there is an erosion of human rights standards here. You know, we are on a slippery slope, and this is really what we really would like to make people alert, you know, because it's getting dangerous.
I think what's really important that we add, Nicole, is that certainly in the Croatian situation, the people doing the beating are masked. They're not identified. It's not a force that is very open about the work that they are doing, and yet they are funded by the EU. Tell us more.
Yeah, I guess I wanted to add something on to Massimo. What shocked me the most is the normalization of it. Like it just became a daily thing to do, and not, you know, something shocking that happens sometimes. So, and what we see on the Croatian-Bosnian border is the system behind it. So it is organized from the top. We were able to speak to several insiders who work inside the Croatian police or used to work there, and they told us that they really get the command from the interior ministry, directly from Bošinović, who is the interior minister, to proceed with pushbacks, to when they find asylum seekers in their territory, to just take them, put them in a van, and literally, like, I often get this feeling like human trash, just throw them out of the European Union. And this is a, let's say, a governmental order. And what they do, they take like these special forces in Croatia. They're mostly a part of the intervention police. They are taught to deal with hooligans, to deal with like violent football games. So they use their techniques that they've learned to, you know, fight hooligans just to throw out migrants out of the EU. And yeah, this was really shocking also to see on which level and on which side these practices are spread already.
Mm-hmm. I want to bring in a new voice, Camille. I'm going to put this video to you. This is Helena Hahn. She's a policy analyst at the European Policy Centre, and she draws a connection between pushback and EU funding. I would like you to react to the video and tell us what you think. Here she is.
The recent investigations into pushbacks at the EU's external borders are shocking, but in many ways also do not come as a surprise. And this is because they form part of a larger trend of increasing deterrence towards migrants and people seeking international protection. At the same time, it is also a reflection of the fact that the disproportionate burden faced by countries of first arrival is an issue that remains unresolved at the EU level. We see this in the new pact negotiations, where member states have been unable to find common ground on how to best address the situation. Looking forward, it seems that public pressure may not be enough to truly change the practices on the ground. It is therefore important that there be more transparency in terms of how EU funding is used for border control purposes, but also that accountability mechanisms at the national level are improved.
Thanks for the video, and Helena Satt. I think on this, it's an interesting point because this happened just 1 week or a few days after 12 EU member states have asked that EU funding couldn't be used, you know, not only for surveillance purposes, but also to build walls, which is not the case at the moment. And so we're seeing this conversation, in a way, moving even further of what EU funding allowed to do. As for the monitoring of what EU money is spent on, I mean, this has been a concern for a number of years. There's been discussion, for instance, at the moment on the monitoring of the work of Frontex, which we haven't talked about yet, you know, on how do we better monitor the work of this agency and, you know, have these human rights, fundamental rights monitors that are being deployed. The European Parliament has also tried to be active on this topic. So that those are a lot of the efforts that are ongoing. I think the difficulty is often that the Commission may advise something and then reaching a consensus among all the different EU member states remains very difficult given how sensitive this topic has become.
I'm looking here on my laptop at Junior Amber with his wife and child. They were abandoned in the Aegean Sea, so pushback at sea. Nicole, can you tell us about some of the experiences that asylum seekers have had that are now in your reporting?
I think I'm really sorry. I have a very bad connection at the moment. Can you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tell us about the experiences of some of the people that you spoke to who've been through pushback. What's happened to them? What's been done to them?
I'm sorry, I cannot hear you at the moment.
All right, we're gonna send you backstage. We're gonna reconnect with you, Massimo. I know you heard me ask that question twice. Go ahead, help me out here.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, the Aegean is where the route starts. Those people were trying to reach Greece, you know, but a lot of people who arrive in Greece, I mean, very often they're held in the islands in very difficult situations, you know, and many of them try to continue their journey. So their journey, I mean, along the Balkan Peninsula is a continuous history of pushbacks, of trying to cross the border and facing police violence at every border. So this is what is happening. So the images that we see right now, I mean, is exactly what, you know, the way the Greek Coast Guard are behaving, and this is nothing new. We also need to remember that the same scenes happen at the border between Greece and Turkey at Evros River in that region. That's where Amnesty also has documented similar instances. So it's a continuous struggle for the people they are facing constantly violence by police forces. They're trying to seek asylum, they're denied asylum, they're pushed back and they keep insisting. It's a journey that can last years in some cases. We spoke to people who have been on the route for 2-3 years. That's happening.
Sartorius is an associate professor in comparative European politics. He's at the University of Birmingham. He spoke to us just a few hours ago.
What we have been seeing for some time now in European borders is a clash between two diverging policies. On the one hand, the European Union, which has developed a so-called Fortress Europe policy, where basically they do not want to have any big numbers of immigrants or refugees or asylum seekers coming into Europe. And on the other hand, neighboring countries such as Turkey, where they want to push more migration flows towards Europe, because number one, they want to alleviate their own problem, but also number two, they can use these migration flows as a negotiating tactic to gain some more financial compensation from Europe. So basically, we end up having a big number of people caught in the middle between a rock and a hard place, where they're trying to cross the border and they're being encouraged or helped to cross the border.
So what I'm seeing, yes, in the YouTube chat is some concern, but also a lot of anti-migrant thoughts right now, maybe mirroring what is happening in Europe. Let me put some ideas and thoughts to you. Can we help me out with this one? Hermes asks, what right or legal case do countries invoke when accused of pushing back migrants?
I think so far a number of them I've been denying them. I've been denying it. And I think this is why this investigation or also other mechanism like independent human rights monitoring mechanism are important and will need to be established moving forward. What we're seeing also is like the EU is investing more and more in, you know, protecting EU border, which in turn put, I think, Europe in a vulnerable position because it will never make a border hermetic, and this someone backfire because it shows a partner or enemies that, you know, this is a button that they can press when they're not happy with a policy or a decision that has been made in Brussels. And I think that's exactly what we've seen in the case of Belarus, of what we're seeing regularly with Morocco or Turkey.
Massimo, just a quick response to Glory B, who is watching right now on YouTube. Glory says all immigrants need to be vetted. What is the difference between that situation of being vetted, in Glory's terminology, and what you are seeing in the way that Europe is currently dealing with refugees and asylum seekers?
I mean, people need to be, cases need to be assessed individually. Each case needs to be assessed individually. If we are taking people, finding them in the forest, putting them in a bus, beating them, and then sending them across a border, I mean, this is not individual consideration of cases. So, I mean, what we're seeing is not even vetting, you know, it's just pure violence. Mm-hmm. You know, this is what we are seeing. What we are seeing is impunity. One thing we need to remember is that, I mean, the pushback in this case is a perfect crime because we don't even have the body of the victim, the person, because the person is across the border. So the person cannot even go to a normal institution and complain about this, you know, because they are across the border. So it's really, I mean, you know, denial of the majority of rights.
So I have shown, audience, I have shown you pictures from Greece, the Croatia-Bosnia border. The picture just beside me here, this is Poland. The big one behind me is Poland. Along this barbed wire here is Lithuania. There's multiple countries in Europe do not want asylum seekers in their country. I want to take you into the forests of Poland, where a Polish NGO are assisting a group of Iraqi men who were hiding in the forest. I want to give you just a little sample of their current lives.
The Polish border police pushed us back to Belarus. They didn't beat us, but then again, they didn't give us water and food. We asked for water, but we didn't get any. They pushed us back and said, don't come back here, go back to Belarus.
I have no idea what will happen to them. I hope that we will succeed very quickly in providing a protection application to the European Court of Human Rights, which would protect these migrants if it succeeds.
Nico, it's good to have you back into the conversation. We reached out as a show to authorities in Greece and authorities in Romania when we talked about your reporting and the impact of reporting and pushback. This is what the Greece Ministry of Maritime Affairs and Insular Policy told us. I'm just going to go right down here to the bottom. As for the tenacious allegations of supposed illegal actions, we must emphasise that the operation practices of the Greek authorities have never included such actions, even though we showed you video earlier. Let me just see what's happening with the Romanian border police. First sentence, Romanian border police applies a zero-tolerance policy against abuse of any kind applied to migrants. So, you did the reporting. It took so long and now you're getting, I was going to say, pushback about pushback, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's what we are used to. This was my, I think, fourth big report about pushbacks. It was the first where we were able to prove that violence is used and which units are involved. But it's shocking to me as a person, but also as a journalist, that you can bring up proof and proof and proof, and there's always this supposedly, or we deny any... any of these allegations. So it's very clear what is happening here. It's a political decision. So the way also people or the politicians just close their eyes is for me a way of also being complicit. Like it, in between the lines, you always get this feeling as everyone just wants this to be happening. Let's just hope it stays in the closed forests and no journalists get there and can see it. So, the only thing that we as journalists are left with is just to keep going. And I can tell you, we will keep going and we will be able to prove more and more because they also felt too safe in doing that. And but the rest is politics and not journalism, unfortunately.
Let me just go to one more voice into the conversation, guest. This is Antonis Gazakis. He is a member of the Anti-Racist Initiative of Thessaloniki. And he talks about addressing the root causes of why asylum seekers are seeking asylum in the first place. Here he is.
Although the results of an investigation by Lighthouse Reports filming with race, I'm not really surprised because it is a common secret in Greece that illegal pushbacks of asylum seekers by the Greek authorities happen more and more at the Greek borders. In order for this outrageous practice to stop, Europe has to realize that asylum seekers are not really a threat for Europe, but they are people in need of support. And if we don't want all these people to ask for asylum in Europe, then we have to do something about the reasons that make them flee their countries in the first place.
So, guests, in the closing few minutes of the show, one thought, one sentence about now, what does Europe need to do about pushback? Camille, you start.
I think maybe I'll go back to a point that that your guests just made on the need to do more in the countries of origin as well. I think we've seen a lot of discussion in the past few days about humanitarian assistance in Afghanistan, in country neighboring Afghanistan, possibly in Turkey as well. We know, I mean, beyond pushback, we know that there's also all this question of, like, how can we support people, you know, in this country to begin with?
Okay. Massimo.
Yes, I mean, it is concerning. I mean, you know, people really do not leave their houses unless they are afraid, and this is something that is happening. I mean, we need to remember that it's true what the states are saying now, but I mean that the treaties that they sign is that the respect and the protection of borders needs to happen in compliance with human rights law. So, you know, these treaties are not a la carte. People, the states cannot pick and choose what they like to implement. They need to respect the rights they have committed to.
And Nicole.
Yes, I can just... I really go with the point that Massimo just underlined. I mean, for me as a journalist, I would love to see that fundamental human rights, international laws and national laws are implied again, like that they value something and that you can rely on them. And if a law says something that this person has the right to seek asylum, has the right for a fair procedure, that this is implemented again and not just, step with a foot on these things. So this is what I'm hoping for.
I'm going to bring in one more voice into this conversation. That is the voice of Ylva Johansson. She has been reacting from the EU to some of the damning evidence that we've been talking about in the last 25 minutes. Here she is.
These reports point that to that people are being victims of violence at our external borders. And of course, if that is true, it's totally unacceptable. And that's why I think it's so important now that this need to be investigated, and especially also if EU funds have been part of this, it's a special part of it, of course, that also need to be investigated.
Nicole Massimo-Camille, thank you so much. Thanks for watching, everybody. See you next time.